On November the 3rd, coming up, I'm recording this on October the 17th, I think we're at. I'm not sure. Yes, we are. We have an aspect pattern that some people are talking about online, and it's called a Star of David pattern. Now, I'm not absolutely convinced that this is a Star of David pattern or even a partial, but we're going to look at it anyway because a commenter on this channel asked me to have a look. So I'm going to do that for you. So let's dive in and have a look at November the 3rd. Now, a Star of David is said to be a very fortunate aspect pattern. But it's very complex. The actual Star of David pattern is made up of two grand trines and connected by these sextiles. And of course, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's a six-pointed star. Some people will recognize that it is the star used by Israel for its flag. So that's kind of relevant at the moment. So this is the pattern that some people have said is a Star of David pattern coming up. Some people have called it a partial Star of David pattern because the orbs are very wide. And I just want to show you something. If I actually just use what's called standard orbs, you can see that we have this water grand trine still active. But really, the Earth Grand Trine is a bit out as well, quite far apart.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
However, let's say that it works. And I'm going to kind of say that it works because Pluto and Uranus will be heading towards a trine, an Earth trine next year. Incidentally, I'm running a 2024 webinar. You can find the link below. That's going to be on November the 15th. But let's go back to these wide orbs and say that this really, oh, I don't want to delete. No, that's it. There we go. Say that this aspect, it works. And anyway, yes, November the 15th, a 2-hour webinar looking at 2024 for just $33. So the links below in the description. So if you want to join. And for those of you just listening on audio, this, if we count these wider orbs, which are wider than most people use, we have Ceres conjunct Mercury in Scorpio at 20 degrees, Pluto in Capricorn at 28 degrees, Neptune in Pisces at 25 degrees, Uranus in Taurus at 21 degrees. You can see where things are getting a little bit wide here. The moon in Cancer at 23 degrees, but of course that moves quickly, so we'll soon oppose Pluto on that day. And Venus in Virgo at 25 degrees. However, I've also left in the South Node and the North Node in Libra and Aries. And Eris, that is conjunct the North Node, and Pallas Athena, that is conjunct the South Node, as these two actually form two fingers of fate and fingers of God, or fingers of God, if we use these wider sextile orbs. And there's also a mystic rectangle between Uranus in Taurus, Venus in Virgo, Mercury in Ceres in Scorpio, and Neptune in Pisces. So, in cosmos and psyche, the orbs for some of these slower planets are definitely said to be wider, and a lot of people do use wider orbs. The people I've seen calling it a partial Star of David are not counting the sextile between Mercury and Ceres in Scorpio and Pluto, as that is more than 7 degrees apart. And that's Richard Tarnas, though, who uses those wider orbs. However, I'm going to kind of look at it as if we are using these wider orbs, because a lot of these aspects are applying, and so they are moving towards each other, and we are in these very big energy shifting times. And I am also going to include, say, perhaps it is a Star of David, because we have those nodes at 24 degrees, which really kind of connects the wider orbs of the Star of David. Well, anyway, what does this mean? This means that this is a really, really powerful configuration, if we're going to call it a Star of David. You know, we have excuse me, my ear is still blocked up from COVID. But anyway, let's look at some of the separate aspects. We have Uranus in Taurus. Uranus in Taurus has been causing discord and disruption with our values, but also our monetary systems and our nature as well. We can see that, just to kind of put it succinctly, there's a lot of other things. Then we go around to the moon in Cancer. The moon's strong in Cancer on November the 3rd, of course, because that's the moon's home sign. And so this is highly emotional and very very protective, and also bringing out the urge to nurture and to build our sense of security. Then we have Venus in Virgo, and I'm leaving out the nodes just for now, and the Aries Libra. Venus in Virgo, the other Earth sign, is you know, said to be in her detriment, but I happen to love Venus in Virgo. I think we're being called to more humble service, useful kind of healing kind of energy with Venus in Virgo. She's, of course, coming off her Venus retrograde recently. Then we have Mercury in Ceres in Scorpio, opposing Uranus almost exactly. And these two were, I've done talked about this in Ceres presentations, that's Ceres. If you search Ceres on my YouTube channel, you will find a presentation that I recorded for this channel. But Mercury and Ceres were kind of the two transition agents. They were paired up in the Dei Consentis of the gods of Rome. They were a pair. And Mercury is the messenger of the gods. He's associated with all kinds of transitions and transformations and transfigurations. And Ceres is about being in alignment with the cycles of nature. She's about grief, forgiveness. She's also a lot about the mother wound. But at this level, let's say she's really about, you know, coming into alignment with all the cycles of life and death, and forgiving ourselves for being out of alignment. But these two together in Scorpio, that's a real kind of dig deep into our motivations and our deep psyche, and to change our point of view. And then we've got Pluto in Capricorn, that's been in Capricorn since 2008, just finishing his journey. He's been revealing all the corruption and kind of the sewers of our structures of our lives. And Neptune in Pisces is has caused both delusion, but also idealism, heightened idealism. So that all those energies that I've just gone through really make up this Star of David. But we have this watery grand trine from the moon, very strong, to Neptune and Ceres in Scorpio, and Neptune in Pisces, also very strong. This is like floods of emotion, but also a cleansing and washing away. And then we have the Earth Grand Trine, which is real kind of earth manifestation changing. Like, how are we changing what we're building? How are we changing all those things? And then we put it all together. You know, I mentioned the Mercury Ceres opposition to Uranus. that's bringing kind of radical change and transitions. And then Venus opposing Neptune, often said to be lower and higher octave. I don't usually talk in those terms, but they definitely have kind of connections on the practical mystic line. And then Pluto opposing the moon in the aspect of the family and birth to death and birth to elderhood.
I didn't get that. Could you
Oh,
try?
my watch decided to talk. But anyway, all these are in feminine signs. But then we bring in this the fact we also really have a cardinal grand cross on this, because the Pluto has been squaring the nodes all year, and the moon is joining in the sign of Cancer to form this cardinal grand cross to the nodes. Pallas Athena on the south node, the goddess of wise justice and war, is saying no more playing nice. I've talked about that south node in Libra before, as I record this on the day on October the 17th. The sun is actually opposing Eris and conjunct the north node as well. So these keep being activated over and over. And then we've got Eris on the north node. I did a whole video about that. I'll link to that in one of the things on this video. She's saying it's time to take a stand for outsiders. And then we've got these two fingers of fate and God and this mystic rectangle. We've got almost every kind of major aspect configuration going on in this, making this a really crucial time, whether you really think this Star of David is exact or not, or if the orbs are too wide. We have got an awful lot going on, saying we are in this time of change. There's so many planets involved about a time of you. It's if it is to be, it's up to me. This is our choice to kind of take a stand, shake things up, and bring some healing. Now, there's one other thing I want to talk about. And oh, excuse me, my ears at this very big time, because November the 3rd, whether you think the orbs are wide or not, is clearly a big day, because we've got this mystic rectangle as well, which again, the orbs are a little bit wide, but not too bad. And then those finger of fate pointing at the north node in Eris and one pointing at the south node in Pallas Athena. It's time to bring balance, harmony, and justice. But one other thing I do want to bring in is that I mentioned that the Star of David is used by Israel. And I'm going to make no conclusions here. But I was like, what's going on with Israel's chart? And with this period, this time, and this really brings us to the Cardinal Grand Cross aspect, and this is hitting Israel's angles. When the moon gets to 25 Cancer as part of this, that will be on Israel's midheaven. The South Node and Pallas Athena are on the ascendant of Israel, and the North Node and Eris are on the descendant, and on Israel's Pallas Athena. And Pluto, the the shit excavator, as I like to call him, is on the IC and has been for a long time, but this is strengthened. Okay. And to add in the other elements, which, you know, are not so strong, but to look at the angles and the house details, and I'm using the most commonly used Israel chart, by the way, the one that's on Astro Data Bank. Some people argue about the time. I'm just going to use this one. Venus is in the 12th house. Neptune is in the sixth house. In mundane astrology, they are less fortunate houses. They are houses of loss. Okay, so I'm just going to say that. Uranus is right here on the cusp of the eighth house, which is another house of loss in mundane astrology, bringing radical change. And the Mercury and Ceres on the second house cusp, the house of self-worth and values. So the Israel chart is, as if we didn't know, is being really, really activated. Now, I'm not going to give any conclusions. I will say I'm team humanity, and I've heard a lot of Jewish people speaking about this as well, about the difference between Judaism and Zionism. And really, the Israel chart is based on Zionism, on creating this Zion for the Jewish people. Well, this is what this is affecting more, the Zionism. And I do see more people kind of speaking out about the government of Israel. I'm trying to be careful here because, you know, I really separate out the people of the Jewish faith from this. They are the ones that are impacted by all of this. But anyway, you know, you've read the news, you can really get an idea of these things. But one other thing I do want to show you is that that was the Israel chart formed on 1948. And on this chart has been rectified by an astrologer friend of mine, Ed. You know who you are. And you can look at the angles. They are similar to Israel, but at different degrees. And, you know, I don't know how definite this time is, but this is the World Zionist Organization. That was formed on August the 31st, 1897. Well, Pluto is right on the IC, the bottom of the chart, this form of stability on this chart. These angles are almost identical. We don't have Pallas Athena here, but the moon is here in Libra for that. And the midheaven, the moon is coming up to the midheaven on that chart. What this suggests to me, and I'm not going to, as said, give my opinion. In fact, I'm going to get rid of the charts and just go back to that one, is that it's bringing big change in this area because it is the Star of David that you know, is used by the Jewish faith and by Israel, the state of Israel, and because of all these things. And the focal points of change really in these charts is are these Finger of Fates and Finger of Gods and this cardinal grand cross. And it's the nodes which are on the ascendant descendant of both Israel and of the World Zionist Organization. Something's going to change. I don't know what. I'm not giving my opinion or my view, or I, in fact, I am on Team Humanity, as I said. I just wanted to show you how this is showing up. As I record this on the 17th, we're just over 2 weeks away from this configuration joining. It's all connected to the eclipses, of course, because the eclipses are new and full moons on the North and South node. So watch this space for what's happening at that point. And incidentally, just, you know, before we go, I do want to say Star of David's are fairly rare. Okay, where's my, oh no, I've lost the page. I was going to tell you when the last ones were, and I don't know if I can find that page now. I've got too many windows open, but they're quite rare. Okay, you know, and it depends on the orbs used. I think this one was kind of important to talk about because of these other configurations coming in. It's not just two grand trines, it's not just six sextiles, it's including this cardinal grand cross and the nodes and Finger of Fate or God or yods. So, and it's, but it's overall just going to bring this massive, massive change. So I hope you enjoyed that shorter video. If you're on just listening, I hope I described where everything was. I gave you the degrees. You can think about where Those degrees are in your chart to see if you're impacted by this. But I think this one is more of a collective aspect. So early November, look for some massive change being launched on the back of the eclipses. Much love to you.